At chapter 6. All right. Yeah, Nehemiah chapter 6. We pray and I'll get calmed down and I can get ready and focused here. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church, for our church family that was able to come and our guests today. And we pray, Father, for those that couldn't be with us today that are sick or other reasons that they couldn't come. Lord, Father, I just pray that you meet with them. Pray that they're able to listen to the message through technology in some way. And I pray, Lord, Father, that you help set aside all distractions now. Help us to focus on your word. Meet with us, Lord, Father, as we know you will. And we just ask, Lord, Father, that forgive us, Lord, Father. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord, Father. We're sinful creatures, Lord, Father, just desperately need you to guide us, to show us the way. You know, we fail you so many times. Just help us to get back on track if we are. Off track, Lord, and for those that do not know you as Savior, Lord, Father, let something be said today or something they read today prick their heart that it would lead to them accepting you as their Savior, help them to understand what salvation is and how that's nothing that we can do, Lord, Father, that you've already done it for us. It's just a choice of repenting and putting our faith in you. And just pray, Lord, Father, to make it very clear today. Encourage us where we need encouragement. Convict us where we need conviction, Lord. We just love and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nehemiah chapter 6. I was trying to think of a title, if I were to call this anything. And the best I could come up with is, are you a wall builder or are you a wall destroyer? Are you a wall builder or are you a wall destroyer? Now, let's read in chapter 6, verse 1. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshmiah saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so just bear with me. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things, verse 8, done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now, verse 17 to the end. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Barakah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. I know it was a lot there, but there's a lot in this chapter, and I'm going to try to just glean some things from it. And again, are you a wall builder or are you a wall destroyer, right? So the children of Israel here, they're building the walls up, right? They've been given a commission to go out. They were given permission by the king of all the lands at that time. They were allowed to do what they're doing. So they're rebuilding the walls. And so let's break some things down. Now, in verse 1, it tells us that that the walls were completely done with the exception of the gates. But the enemies, Sambala and everyone else, heard that it was already done. They heard that it was all done, that there was no breach. But regardless, Sambala and his cronies or goonies, as I call them, they heard it was completed, and they're not happy about it. They're not happy about it. If you've read through Nehemiah before, you'll remember that they attack and they try to sway them from completing the job. Anyway, you can sense now their fear is growing more intense. The enemies of the Jews, the enemies of Israel, they're not happy with the progress that they're hearing about the walls being rebuilt. The Bible doesn't come right out and say they were afraid, but look at their actions. They're getting desperate now. Sambala and Tobiah, their gang, again, these are our wall destroyers, right? These are the enemies of God. And they're going against, they're stirring up trouble to come against the Jews, right? They're intensifying their efforts. And to the point of they said, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Right? Verse 2, they're trying to draw away Nehemiah from the work. You know, they're a wall destroyer. You know, in your building efforts, things are going to come at you. They're going to try to draw you away to get you to stop building that wall. Now, we can't be for certain, but I don't think this was a scathing letter. I think this was a kind letter. I think this was, oh, hey, Nehemiah, why don't you come over to the village? We want to talk with you for a little bit, right? We want to talk with you and draw you away. We just want to share a few things with you. You know, that's all we want to do. You know, and Nehemiah, he's too close to God at this point. He knows, you know what? These guys have been nothing but trouble to me this whole time. Why would they want me to come meet now, friendly, right? You know, if you have a known enemy, all of a sudden a nice letter comes to you, you have reason to be suspect, hey, there might be something more to this, right? So take note, you know, watch Nehemiah's actions as he's building this wall, as the people are building this wall, right? You're trying to do a great work for God, and all of a sudden here comes this friendly letter, hey, why don't you come over and meet with us for a while? Anyway, he saw Sambala and the rest of that gang and what they wanted to do for what it was, and he saw it as mischief. And he declares unto them in the verse 2, you know, or he answers them and he says, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to come meet with you. I see what you're doing. Well, why would I leave this work that I'm doing? You know, as many as already learned in reading the Bible and even in your own experience and walk with the Lord, does it not happen the longer you serve him, the closer you get to God, does not the devil's attacks intensify? Does not the devil's attack get more frequent in your life? You know, the enemy will not stop fighting until you surrender or takes you out of the battle, until you take your last breath. I thought about think about this in retrospect. Think of Nehemiah like a pastor, like an under shepherd of the people. They're building this wall. They're trying to firm up the breaches, trying to get them all stopped up. They're trying to get their lives back in order. They took a major blow. They came into captivity. You know, spiritually, everybody's broken. They're trying to rebuild the walls, right? Picture Nehemiah as their pastor. And then now think about your pastor who's sick. He's still recovering, right? Think about our pastor and what he does for us and what he has done for us. How many things, has he taken care of behind the scenes that has protected you and I? That we will never know this side of heaven. How many things, because of the Lord's leading, he's like, ooh, I see danger here. I see danger here. We don't want to do that as a church family. We're just going to take that off to the side. We're not going to go there. How many things has he led the church away from to protect us, to prevent us from encountering? How many other churches or organizations, from what I understand, stuff just comes in the mail of just all kinds of craziness, trying to get him to, you know, hey, send some money for this, send some money for that. Hey, can we have a rock band come to your church and we'll show you how to really have some worship, you know, and things like that. How many things does he deal with that we'll never know for our good, to protect us, right? Let's be thankful for a caring and God-fearing pastor. You know, let's be thankful. We have a church doctrine and covenants for our protection so we can be in agreement, right? So there's not inroads, fighting inside in amongst the members. The enemy of God here, the enemies of God, they want to destroy that wall. They don't want to see it built. They want the wall builders to quit. And they're going to do it any way they can to get in there, right? And so our pastor, likewise, is a great under-shepherd, like Nehemiah here, trying to protect the people. And he's being led, Lord willing, to continue to be our pastor, right? And so I love Nehemiah's response in verse 3. Look at his response in verse 3 again. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. And anybody building the wall, anybody in ministry, anybody serving the Lord, that's a great work. So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down unto you? You know, I'm not going to stoop down to your level. I got a work to do. You stay faithful to what God has given you and asked you to do. Again, remember the devil. Do you think he'll ever back down? No. The devil will never back down. Think about this. Don't think for a minute you beat him in one battle that he'll never attack in that same way ever again. We'd be fools to think that. Just because you had victory yesterday does not guarantee you a victory today. Look at the story. The account of what happened here. Five times, same way, almost same letter. Five times they send unto Nehemiah, hey, come away from the work. 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 It just didn't stop. And he had to keep shooting them down five times. They wanted him to quit. You know, the devil will keep poking that same spot till it bleeds, hoping you'll fall, hoping you'll quit. He'll hit the right buttons just to get you to fail, just to get you to the point that you quit or sin. The devil doesn't care about you or your welfare or the enemies of God. Pay attention who you hang around with. Are they drawing you closer to God or away from God? You know, if you scream loud enough, long enough, and often enough, you might just get what you want. It happens all the time, right? We see it in children. You know, they're persistent to the end, right? You know, they'll cry to the point they get to that, whatever that thing is. You see it in our liberal news. They'll keep portraying things that aren't even true over and over and over and over and over and over again to the point where you believe it. You buy the lie, right? It sways your beliefs. They want to stir up trouble. Wall destroyers don't want you to build that wall. They don't want you to have truth. They don't want you to serve God. That's why it's so important to stop up the breaches now, right? Watch out for the attacks from the enemy. Be constantly on guard. We need to build those walls of protection. So again, are you that wall builder for your family, for your church? Treat the attacks on your Christianity like it's an attack from an enemy, like it's a terrorist. You know what you don't do with terrorists? You don't appease terrorists. They will not quit. You have to eradicate a terrorist. The fight for your faith will not stop till you take your last breath. You stand firm until the end. You have to stay consistent now. And you don't certainly wait to start building the wall when the enemy is in sight. Oh, I better start building that wall that should have been building for years. Let me start building it now. You're not going to have enough time for the mortar to set, for the wall to firm up. It's too weak now. You're going to get overrun. The time to build the wall is right now before the battle comes. The work starts now, right where you are. Preparation is long before the enemy comes, right? Again, are you a wall builder or a wall destroyer? Oh, where are we? We're about verse 6 now. I'm just kind of paraphrasing as I go through here. We're in verse 6, we see here that it was reported among the heathen, and Geshmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest a wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. You see what's going on here now. If I can't get them drawn away through these letters, let's up the ante a little bit. Let's lie about them now. Let's talk bad about the builders. Let's talk bad about them. Let's gossip about them. Let's share untruths, right? Try to steer them away from building the wall. And what does Nehemiah say? He addresses the issue head on. He says, you know what? This is untrue. Those are what you feignest in your own mind, right? Those are lies. You know, does that sound familiar? Isn't it amazing how newspaper articles or magazines or any kind of media has a way of adding or leaving things out to stir up trouble? People imagine all kinds of weird stuff that goes on in churches. Those that have never even been in a church, they from what they hear, from what they see in the media, you know, they all kinds of stuff gets thought up, right? Sanballat was hoping to spread this rumor to get Nehemiah and the people to quit. The media just loves to pick up any juice of gossip they can find and create, right? Especially on Christians or preachers, and they broadcast it everywhere. See, there's no point in becoming a Christian. Look at these Christians. Bunch of failures, right? You know, the trickery of the devil is so sly, right? He's so sly. We need to take heed. We need to pay attention. People are watching. You know, people are watching and they're waiting for you to fall, especially now. They want to use your faith against you. Psalm 70, verses 1 through 3. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Do you know that the lost that don't know better, and then there's even the lost that do know better, but they deny the Lord, on purpose. They want to see you fail. They are looking for opportunities to say, aha, gotcha. I remember one time I was deployed and I was either getting on the back of a deuce or jumping off the back of a deuce, Brother Scalise. And you know, they're pretty high, you know. And I think I was climbing up or jumping down. I don't remember which. And when that happened, I said something that someone else thought I said a cuss word. I don't even remember what I said, but I knew it wasn't a cuss word. But somebody else thought I said a cuss word, and they go, aha! He swore! And then they start saying, did you hear that? Did you hear it? He swore! Why would they do that? They knew I was a Christian. They knew I was a professing, open Christian. And they're like, I got him! He just cussed. He would not stop. This person would not stop saying I said this. I had to get to the point and just say, you can choose to believe what you want. I know what I said. I did not cuss. People desire to see you fall. Wall destroyers desire to see you fall. In Nehemiah's day, verse 8, he says, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Imagined, right? Nehemiah says, this is all made up. You know, it's really frustrating. Have you ever been there? It's really frustrating when a rumor about you gets spread. And it seems like you have no control over it. You have no way to stop it. No way to prevent it. No way to correct the truth. Does that not hurt? Does that not get you upset? It can be downright aggravating. And no doubt, Nehemiah felt this way too. But you don't see him retaliating in the same way. He didn't go out and spread rumors about Sanballat. He just called it for what it was. That's a lie. You're wrong. He didn't sink to their level. I remember hearing an account of a pastor one time about he drove a very unique car. This is a true story. He drove a very unique car. And, well, anyway, everyone knew he had this car, and it was the only type of that car in this city or town that he lived in. Only one of its kind there. Well, a certain lady, either lost or just full of the devil, both, whatever, decided she went out and found that exact same car, purchased that car, and had it parked at another lady's driveway in their town, and then started spreading rumors. Hey, did you see the preacher's car over there? Hey, did you see the preacher's car over there? Hey, wall destroyer right there. Hey, did you see that? If I understood right, if I remember, he ended up having to leave the church. He did not recover. He could not prove himself innocent. People bought the lie. Put yourselves in that preacher's shoes. Sometimes all you can do is pray that the truth comes out. Sometimes that's all that you're left to deal with. This is where Nehemiah's at. This guy's spreading rumors everywhere. How many people are believing this lie? All he could do is say, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. That's all he could do. He trusted God that God would settle the matter in his timing. You know, Sanballat and his gronies, you know, we're not much longer here. They wanted to continue to stir up this trouble and try to weaken the hands of the builders. You and I are supposed to be wall builders. There are going to be people that want to destroy your efforts to build the wall. Right? But Nehemiah and the people that he led, they called on God to strengthen their hands. You know, wall building, that is hard. It is hard, tough work. And it comes with struggles. It comes with attacks. The Church of Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage has not been without attack through over the years. The attacks come at the pastor. The attacks come at heads of the homes. The attacks come in the wives, the children. The attacks don't stop, right? Well, think about this. You're like, man, life is hard, right? Well, think about this. Think about all the opposition you have in your life. Now, stack that against the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of changes your perspective a little bit. Yes, you have struggles. Yes, we deal with heartaches. Yes, we deal with failures. Yes, we deal with wall destroyers in our life. What did Jesus Christ do for you and I? He, out of anyone, more so than anyone that I've ever heard or can think of in my life, has experienced accusations and punishment and beatings more severe than anyone I know. So severe, he was nailed to the cross, as the Bible teaches us. So severe that he was left there to die. So severe, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, to the point he was unrecognizable. He was spit on, he was mocked, he was shamed. For what? Accusations, right? Now, we know Jesus willingly gave himself to die on that cross, but it was our sin that put him there, right? He went there for us. He died for you and I because he loves us that much, to give us that opportunity to hear the gospel, to be saved. Again, when you're faced with all this opposition and trials in your life, yes, it's hard. Yes. But compare it to Jesus Christ. It'll help gain some perspective. You know, this life is short. On the other side of heaven, if you're saved, all those woes are over for all eternity. Don't forget the beatings that he took for you, Christian. When those offenses come, remember the Lord and what he's done for you. Verse 10. I'll get through this quickly. It says here, this man, Shemaiah, wanted Nehemiah to meet together in the house of God. Did you know there are wall destroyers in the house of God too? They're not just outside the church. Wall destroyers can be inside the church. This is an attack from within. He said, I want to meet you in the house of God now. Is this trickery or is this truth? What is this? You know, but Nehemiah, being close to God, he sees for what it is. No, I will not go in. Such a man as I flee the work that's being done right now. Nehemiah says, I'm not going in. I'm not going to save my own skin and leave all these folks out here to the work. No way. Notice how the attack seems to be strongest at the head, at Nehemiah, the leader. Same thing happens with our pastor. How many attacks does he get? Same thing with heads of homes. How many attacks do they get? If you take the head out, usually a myriad of problems occur after, right? Let's learn from this. Let's pray for our pastor to keep him in the battle. You know, Nehemiah read between the lines. He learned here, you know what? This is nothing but an internal strife here. They're trying to pull me away again. It was an effort to disguise, to deceive him. Much like he realized this is a hired prophet. This is a hireling. You know, Nehemiah recognized these aren't true prophets of God. Again, the closer you get to God, the harder the attack from the devil can get. It'll just intensify to the end. Just expect it. But remember these verses, and there's many more that I could share. When you're in the battle, when things come, you're like, what am I supposed to do? Listen to this. This is still here in the Bible. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think about where they are. They're building walls in enemy territory, and they're victorious in it. They're doing a great work for God, despite all the odds, despite all the attacks. Nehemiah 6:12-14 teaches us, you know what, while you're building, pay attention. Not everybody's going to be on the same page with you as you build that wall. Not everybody's going to appreciate your faith, right? They're not going to appreciate your stance for God, for the gospel, for truth. Not everybody's going to be welcoming your spirit. You know, there's hirelings out there. They'll do anything for the price is right, right? While you're building the work, remember, there are destroyers that could be outside and within. And then we look at verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. 52 short days, long, arduous days, I bet, but 52 days, that was it. And they finished the wall. That was a great work. It was incredible. They had a mind to work, the Bible says. Despite impossible odds, all the opposition, which was constant. Notice it never stopped. All that sweat, all that tears, despite all that, they built the wall. You know, we are living in some impossible odds right now. You know, we're experiencing, I would argue, persecution that America hasn't experienced in a very long time. For the Christian. A spiritual storm, if you can believe any of the media, but if you're watching it, you can see some things brewing, right? There's a spiritual storm brewing there's a storm out there that wants to dramatically change America. They want to change our country. They want no friend of Christianity, right? That can be alarming. That can be cause fear while we build the walls, right? We're like, oh, what are we supposed to do? You keep building the wall. You stay faithful to what you're supposed to be doing. Church attendance, reading your Bible, prayer, trying to grow closer to God, trying to share the gospel with others, trying to be a light to this dark world. That's what you stick to, no matter what's going on out there. And they did that in Nehemiah's day, and they continued to build the wall, despite all that opposition. Despite all that opposition. And listen to what happened, verse 16. Again, the enemy is watching. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and they're listening, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. These are lost people saying, you know what? They built this wall in 52 days. There must be a God. They were a testimony to the lost. They were a testimony to the wall destroyers. I love those times and situations in our lives and maybe other people's lives where despite all the odds, God shows up and proves everyone wrong. What do I mean by that? Don't you love it? At least I do. I love it when news articles come out and they're like, ooh, we were wrong about this thing about evolution, you know. Yeah, we gotta sweep that under the rug. Yeah, we can't say that anymore. We found out that's not true. Or global warmest, alarmist, all of a sudden they realize, oh, well, maybe, you know, all of a sudden the worst winter ever comes and, you know, dumps all the snow and freezing cold and just kind of calms that storm of global warming for a little while, right? I love it when that happens. There was one article I read one time. As I'm reading the article, it says a ship from like the 1700s or 1800s was discovered in the midst of a glacier. And they're trying to say, global warming caused this. And I'm like, well, think about it. You just proved global warming wrong. Because you're saying a ship from the 1700s had to have been sailing at some point in time where there was water that became ice, and now it's melting again. Do you see it's cyclic? Anyway, it drives me crazy. You know, that kind of stuff. Or what about real life? Here, let's bring it home to you and I. For those that have been here several years now, do you remember back when Brother Farr, he was either here or here, I don't remember, we laid hands on him. We were committing into heaven. Lord, whatever you want. By all doctors' accounts, every doctor he ever went to, every medical expert, anyone, they said he's going to die. It's imminent. You will not live another 6 months or whatever it was. That's it. He was the worst level of prostate cancer you could ever be. He prayed through that whole thing. We prayed through that whole thing. And he even got to the point where one doctor said it's a miracle. God showed up. Power of positive thinking, right? Changed all of Brother Farr's life. No! God, holy, just, powerful God, decided to heal that man as a testimony to the world. God showed up big. Or what about this story? This is one of my favorite of Pastor McGovern's. I don't think I would have had enough faith to do what he did. Remember when he tells the story about the village? He says, it's the Lord's will. I have to go back to America. God says, God's called me back to Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. And in the village, I don't remember which one it was. Was it Kudugudu, where they took the vote in the lot? It was both? It was both? Wow. Okay. So it was their decision to do that. They wanted to do that. They came. So it wasn't pastor's idea. The men of these villages that pastor's been preaching at for years, they said, we know you say this is the will of God, but we need to know this is the will of God. And we're going to draw lots to make sure. I would have been just shaking, you know. You know, and from what I understand, they put lots in a basket, you know, America or Anchorage. I don't know what they wrote, but basically, will of God, America, will of God, Papua New Guinea. And they drew lots. And it came up, America. God set that up. Pastor didn't have to fabricate it, to manufacture it, to make it the will of God, like we like to do. Don't do that. Don't manipulate the will of God. You let God be God. Anyway, God showed up big there. Again, are you a wall builder or a wall destroyer? And let's wrap it up here, verses 17 through 19. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters unto Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto them. Again, people can get persuaded. You got to be careful. The attacks come great. These are people, the Jews here, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Barakai. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Even after the walls were done, the attacks still came. Christian, the attacks will not stop. Life is not about our comfort, as much as we like it. Life is not about only living in the good times and in the moments and riding from high to 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 high. And life is not that way. It's got ups and downs, right? But God is the same God in the high as he is in the low. He's there the whole time. The attacks will not stop. Are you a wall builder? Are you a wall destroyer? Mitch, as you, if you would come up here, I'm getting ready to wrap up. Think about when you're in the battle. Think about, man, this it can get really bad, can it? There can be some really low times, and you can have your own pity parties, like I mentioned before. But remember what Jesus Christ did already. When those offenses come, remember all the offenses he suffered for you. That should give you hope to stand strong in this day of evil. Mitch.
Thank you, Sean. It's very good. Nehemiah did face many battles, but I love his focus when he said, I am doing a great work. And the same thing is true with us as we're trying to live for God. Don't get focused on the distractions. Don't get focused on those attacking you. Stay focused on the great work that you are trying to accomplish, having that right relationship with God. And it'll help get you through it. And remember 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All this work that we're putting in, the trials that we're facing, as we're trying to get through, it will be rewarded. The Israelites finished the wall, and God will reward us if we stay faithful, if we stay unmovable through these trials. So every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to do a short time of invitation here. What Sean was touching on was for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're trying to live for God. But some of the same principles are true for those who have, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, there are things that will try to distract you from getting that relationship with God. The devil will try to pull you off course. Maybe you feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart and you know that you don't know your eternal destination. And you want to get that settled, but there keep coming distractions into your life, pulling you away from sitting down and making sure that you know where you go when you die. That is the most important thing you can know. That's the most important decision you can make, is to decide your eternal destiny. And if there's someone in here who has never done that, if you're not sure your eternal destiny, I'm just going to run through real quickly. That's the reason Jesus Christ came to this earth. Yes, it was 2,000 years ago, but when he came to this earth and he lived a perfect life, he lived that perfect life for you. And then when he died on that cross, God placed the sin of all of mankind upon him, upon Jesus Christ, and he became sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. And then when he rose again, he proved that he had the power over death and over hell. He conquered the wages of sin. And now the Bible says that he is offering to you his righteousness. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's not something we earn. It's something that is given to us, but we have to receive it. And we receive it when we put our faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ. We can't trust our own works. We can't trust a baptism. We can't trust the family we were born into. We have to put our faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the Bible says He gives us His righteousness so that when we stand before God, we are perfect. We have Christ's perfection upon us. But there needs to be that point in time, that decision that you make to put your faith and trust solely in the work of Jesus Christ. And if there's someone who says, I've never done that, that's something I've never done, but it's something I want to find out more about. If you could raise your hand, we have a couple that would be glad to take you aside and to explain it a little bit more. Maybe God's tugging at your heart and saying, you don't really know your eternal destination. But if you'd like to get that settled, if you could raise your hand, we'd have somebody take you aside and show you all that Jesus Christ did and explain it in more detail. Anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand. All right, Christian, Sean preached a great message. And sometimes we're trying to build the wall, but those distractions come. Do we stay focused? And then we have to also make sure that we're not some of the wall builders, the wall breakers, trying to distract others from building a wall, from doing a great work. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love You so much, and I thank You again for the truths found in Your Word. And Lord, I pray that we heed them, heed the warning, heed the exhortation, and Lord, strive to do the work that You have called us to do. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's grab those hymnals. Turn to page 294.